Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Donato with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It's National Sibling Day and National Hug Your Dog Day. I mean, let's have at it. Why not? Though it's going to be hard to hug anyone today, to be honest with you, with social distancing. I'm going to be real with you. It's kind of a tough day. We probably should have postponed that one. Unless the siblings actually live together, which, like in my case, like the kids live together. But yeah, it's going to be tough to pull that one off. Wouldn't you say, Greg?
I mean, yeah, but you can also, just because it's National Hug Your Dog Day, so you can hug your dog. But with Sibling Day, you can still Zoom or FaceTime or do whatever you got to do there.
How do you hug? You're going to virtual hug? Is that what you're going to do?
No, I mean, you do. It's hug your dog. It's just National Sibling Day.
Oh, it's not National Hug Your Sibling. Oh, okay. Right, National Sibling Day, as in just sibling period. Oh, okay.
Correct. So you can
hug your dog. How do we come up with a hugging your dog day? Like, who comes up with these things?
I don't know who comes up with any of these days, but you know what? If you want to hug your dog, that's a good thing. You know what's funny?
Yeah, I get it. I think hugging your dog is great. I mean, you probably should do it more regularly than just on a given day, is kind of my point.
Right. I totally agree. But like, I saw there was a – I don't know if it was a documentary or somebody one time a few years ago. Like, you can probably find it on YouTube. Was saying that dogs don't like to be hugged. And
what?
That just sounds bananas to me. Because the dog comes right, the dog comes right up and actually puts its arms on my shoulders to give me a hug. I can't imagine that's not me doing it. So that guy's a
It feels wrong. Feels weird. Anyway, we've got stuff. We've got news is happening. All right, we'll get to the news here in a second. But first, this segment brought to us by our friends at Straight Talk Wireless. Full court cell phone coverage that you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and condition at StraightTalk.com. Oof, what is wrong with me today? I'm trying to get through this too fast because I need to get to this news, because there's news, Bergman. Baseball, Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Says that baseball is interested in adopting even another idea about getting their season started. Now, we've heard the incubation process about getting it all done in Arizona, but there are some real questions about doing it all in Arizona. Like, hey, it's 110 degrees outside. That could be a problem. So I guess they're going to potentially, according to Bob Nightingale, who's going to join us at 10:15, they're going to attempt to just have teams go to their spring training sites in Florida and Arizona. While that sounds good on the surface, I have questions about that too, because it is also maybe not as hot in Florida, but certainly humid in Florida, and it's why both teams in Florida also play in domes. So I don't know if this is the best idea either. And also, I know that there are a lot less cases in Arizona than they project to be in Florida. I feel like, man, like I don't know if this is even a good plan either, just based on this. Like, I almost think that the Arizona thing may be better, even with the 110 degree weather.
Isn't Florida one of the worst states in with the virus right now? Florida and New York.
Well, I mean, it projects to be one of the worst ones. Yes,
right. Yeah, it's because everybody was out on Miami Beach getting crazy, and you know, despite the fact that they shouldn't have been. But yeah,
well, it was not Miami Beach. It was mostly like Tampa and stuff. But
right.
Yeah, I think that the challenge is that you have hot spots like Miami and Fort Lauderdale and Palm Beach, because that's where you have most of the people, but those people also spread out through the state of Florida too. You know what I'm saying? Like, that stuff gets spread out. I just don't know if Florida, because Florida's just, look, take it from someone who grew up there. Okay. It's just Florida. You know what I'm saying? Like, something is bound to go wrong.
I mean, that's a whole meme, because Florida, that's just how it goes. So splitting it up, I get the idea of splitting it up, and it makes sense to completely realign and just go with, you know, Arizona and Florida with a Grapefruit League and Cactus League. But Yeah, it seems like a bad situation happening down there. Moving everybody to Arizona seems to make a little bit more sense.
Yeah, I don't love the idea of adding Florida into the mix. I don't trust the government there. Let's just be real. Like the state government. Like, I don't trust the governor. You know, he basically just botched this whole thing. So that is probably the bigger issue I have with it. I'm going to be honest with you. And because it's Florida.
I mean, I like the fact that
they haven't shown the propensity historically to be able to get things right.
No, and I feel like this is – at least they're trying to think of something where they're trying to like, all right, maybe if we do this, if we go to all the Arizona or if we split it up to just the spring training sites, they're trying to do something. But there's got to be another area that instead of the spring training sites in Florida, they can move to
where else would the hell would you
do parks where there's a –
what are you
going to
play in a little league baseball field? What the hell do you think you're going to do there?
No, I'm trying to think of sites that have multiple parks, like maybe even in Texas somewhere where they have, where you can maybe stick around closer. There's, you know, Fort Wayne with Dallas and other couple areas around there. I don't know.
Yeah, I look, the reality is if you're looking for baseball parks, the reality is Florida and Arizona are going to be the places you have the most, least ones that can house Major League Baseball teams. The other part of this equation is that for one season, everything will be all screwed up. Like, your traditional leagues and divisions are all out of whack. You're going to have the Cactus League. You're going to have the Grapefruit League. So in a division, you'll have the Yankees. This is the proposal, allegedly, according to Bob Nightingale, who we'll talk to in a few minutes. You'll have the Yankees, the Phillies, the Blue Jays, the Tigers, and the Pirates in one division. The Red Sox will not be in the same division as the Yankees, but in a division with the Twins, the Braves, the Rays, and the Orioles. And then there's an East division with the Nationals, the Astros, the cheating Astros, the Mets, the Cardinals, and the Marlins. And then in the Cactus League, the Dodgers would be in a division with, let me see here, I'm looking, oh, they'd be in the division with the White Sox, the Reds, the Indians, and the Angels. Now, the Angels part of it could be interesting, at least for one season, but to not have the Giants in your division... More so, forget, I mean, the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, like, I guess, like, you know, whatever. I don't necessarily look at them as teams that I would say are even remotely close to being rivals of the Dodgers, even though they're in the same division. But the Padres and the Giants not being in their division is weird.
It's very weird. Is it worth it, George? Is it worth it to do this, to split it up like this? And it has to be an asterisk, right?
I mean, listen, I'm the guy who is just like, let's just get some semblance of normalcy, even if it's not normal. I used a specific term yesterday, a slice of normal, okay? Now, having baseball, this whole thing was a pie, if sports were a pie, right? And it's not the blame pie, so Kamenetsky, so back up, okay? Or Mason in Ireland. I know you guys back up too. But if sports were a pie and baseball were a slice, if we were to slice that slice by about a third, that would be what we're getting right now, or maybe even in half. But anyway, it's the slice of a slice. And I mentioned that yesterday. We just need a slice of a semblance of normalcy. And this is that. This is a slice of a semblance of normalcy. And I would take it. Now, you, Dodger boy, are the baseball guy around here, the traditionalist. You didn't even want the damn magic at bat. Now they're talking about messing with divisions. So I'm sure as hell curious to hear what you think about this.
Well, look, I do want baseball back and I want sports back. So yeah, like you're saying, it's getting the slice of the slice. I'm good with. This is a totally different thing. It has to be a much bigger conversation, right? It's not just, are we going to split up these leagues? It's going to be like, what does this mean moving forward? Does this season count towards everything? Does it get an asterisk? Does it have, or like, what is actually going to happen with this? Because it's so not typical that it changes everything. So if it's going to give me baseball back and it's going to give me sports back, I'm all for it.
Look at you, magic at bat guy, who won't take the magic at bat, will take the Dodgers playing in a division with the White Sox, Reds, Indians, and Angels.
Well, like the magic at bat is going to change the actual game itself. Whereas,
because this isn't going to change the game.
No, this doesn't change the actual what happens on the field. It just changes who you play. So that's two totally separate things. I just want sports. I want baseball back, but at the right time, of course. But still,
all right.
That's a whole thing.
877-710-ESPN. We got a couple of minutes before Bob comes on. 877-710-3776. Would you take baseball in this janky ass format where you'd have the Grapefruit League and the Cactus League, and the Dodgers and Angels would be in the same division, but they wouldn't have the Giants, they wouldn't have the Padres, they'd be playing with the White Sox, the Reds, and the Indians. The Angels would have none of their traditional rivals in this division. None.
Rival? What rivals do the Angels
zero.
Have? Zero. Yes, let's be honest.
I mean, the Angels, they are a professional baseball team.
Right, who is their rival?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Who is their rival? Let me think.
Right.
Exactly. Traditionally, think I mean, the Seattle Mariners, the Texas Rangers, right?
I mean, they're in the division
traditional
with them.
Yeah, but they've been in the division with them forever.
I mean, if you look at it, though, this is the Dodgers and the Angels. That's a tough
The A's are in the, you know, in the Angels division.
Sure.
Yeah, those are the traditional rivals.
Look at this division, though, the Dodgers and Angels are in. Dodgers, Angels, White Sox, Reds, and Indians. That's a tough division. That's not
the White Sox are a team on the rise. The Reds are a team on the rise. The Indians are a good team, and the Angels have some of the best players in baseball.
Right,
particularly Mike Trout.
That's a tough division. Like walking through the park, like it was going to be with the NL West for the Dodgers is not the same thing here.
Oh yeah, that definitely changes. That's the other part of the equation. Yeah, now there's two parts of it. There's you're not getting your traditional divisions, and then the other part of it is you've got a lot tougher division now.
Much tougher. And they're saying also that the designated hitter would likely become universal during all
that
this.
Would help the Dodgers, I think.
That would help them. Then all of a sudden you're getting nine guys that are saying that they're going to be able to hit home runs. Yeah, that's fantastic for them.
Manuel and Gardena. What's up, Manuel?
George Sedano, the corporate Cubano, doing it well. How you doing, my man?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Thank you for the entertainment you've been providing us, workers. We really appreciate you and what ESPN LA is doing. As far as this whole debacle that you are describing, since I'm a diehard baseball fan, yes, I just wanted just to have baseball back. But come on, I mean, it's going to definitely have to be asterisked at the minimum, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure, Manuel, and thank you for the call, and thank you for the kind words. Stay safe, stay healthy. So there you go. Even another traditionalist like Manuel wants this format, no matter how janky it may come across, at least initially.
Yeah, it's just sports. I mean, you're still going to get baseball to watch. It's just like normally we'd be like, hell no, this is just the most ridiculous idea ever. It would be an immediate no if this was normal times.
No, of course. I get that. But even now, I still think that there are going to be people who are going to be like, I don't know if I'm feeling this. Let's go to James, who's listening online on the app in Portland. How are you, James?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for taking the call.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. I wanted to weigh on in this whole Angels rivals thing. Obviously, lifelong Angel fan. I met Chuck Finley when I was a little kid. It was a big moment for me. And
did you meet Tony Kitaen, though?
No, I did not, unfortunately.
Okay. Yes. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Biggest rival for me growing up has been the Rangers, for sure.
There you go.
Always the Rangers. Absolutely.
So are you cool with this setup of the Angels and Dodgers playing in this division in the Cactus League that's being reported?
Honestly, I always wondered why they didn't play. So I think this is actually awesome, especially for just Southern California baseball in general. I think it's going to be really hype, to be honest.
That is a good point. I think that is the one bright spot here. Although that division is hard, as Greg pointed out. Yeah, the Dodgers, White Sox, Reds, Indians, and Angels, like the White Sox are the worst of that group because they're a young group. But the other teams in there are formidable teams for sure.
Very much so. Absolutely. But like I said, I think the biggest thing is that Dodger-Angel matchup is going to be really hype, especially since I think we're both putting great products on the field right now. Like, you're just hyping up Ohtani and how amazing he is with Trout. The Dodgers are rearing up for a potential World Series this year, so if we have baseball.
Yeah. All right, man. Stay safe in Portland, James. Thanks for the call.
You too, guys. Take care.
See ya. Let's go to Alex in Whittier real quick. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's up, Josh?
What's up, bud?
Hey, I was just calling Angel fan right here. Yeah, Rangers are definitely a rival. And don't forget, also the Dodgers. The Angels and Dodgers are a good rivalry.
Yeah, they just don't play very often. But, right, there's the inner city rivalry. There's a lot of Dodger fans. But there are Angel fans. Greg likes to dismiss. Greg is just a dismisser. That's who he is. He dismisses the Angels. He dismisses the Clippers. Who else do you dismiss, dismisser?
Let's see, the Ducks. Yeah. Basically any team from Orange County.
Yeah. You are anti-OC. I'm surprised you made it out of OC week last summer.
I was afraid going to OC week. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. But I mean, so, and also with the rival thing, do the Rangers consider the Angels their rivals also? Is kind of what I would.
I would say so.
Okay. If they do, then fine. Then it's real rivalry. It just doesn't fit on the lines of like, you know, Dodgers and Giants.
No, it's not that, but every team does have a traditional rival. It's not like these baseball teams. I mean, there's a few of them that haven't been around a long time, but for the most part, the teams that have been around for decades and you know, whatever, they have teams they've been playing for 30, 40 years.
Yeah, and to Alex's point, by the way, going up against the Angels, that's the Angels typically beat up on the Dodgers during the season. It's just one of those teams that the Dodgers always lose to, and Mike Trout especially hits big home runs at the end of games. It's very frustrating.
All right, so let's talk to Bob Nightingale, who broke this story for USA Today, and get kind of some more details on all this stuff. We'll talk to Bob here in just a second. Sit down with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Lindsay Theory, who covers the Rams for ESPN, will join us in the next segment at 10:30, we'll chat with her about this strange ordeal about the Rams not paying Todd Gurley and Clay Matthews. But we started the show talking about the breaking story in USA Today from Bob Nightingale, who is our next guest, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Major League Baseball considering realignment in a, let's just call it less than traditional way, sort of, I guess. Bob Nightingale joins us now here. So, Bob, obviously, the story broke. You guys had it, and you had it at USA Today about the potential of basically separating the teams into grapefruit and cactus leagues. How strong is this? How strong of a possibility is this?
You know, we're talking about so many different possibilities. This is one that's gained some steam. You know, we'll see what happens. Obviously, you know, way too early to even know whether they're going to play baseball or not. They're not going to do it, you know, before they get, you know, approval with, you know, health and everything else. But they like the idea that everybody can go to the comforts of their spring training homes. Now you have 26 stadiums to choose from, including three dome stadiums. And let's face it, baseball wants to realign at some point. This will at least be something unusual and give, you know, fans a taste of something, you know, something more fun, you know, something that they're not accustomed to seeing. It also helps TV a lot in a way where you can actually have East Coast games in prime time as well as the games in Arizona.
And my guess is there would, I mean, granted, there's, I think, 26 parks available, including the Rays, Tropicana Field, Marlins Park, and Chase Field for the Diamondbacks. But at least those teams could play in their home parks. And I guess, you know, I know particularly the Marlins, they share their spring training facility with the Cardinals. So there would be less sharing of some of these facilities, too, which would be a plus.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody would have their own facility. I mean, even though, you know, some teams, particularly Arizona, share the same ball stadium, they all have their, you know, backfields, you know, 10, 12 fields to work out in. So even teams like, you know, Tampa and the Marlins and Arizona Diamondbacks, I think they would still play a lot of their games at the spring training site because you'll have all your, you know, players there and working out and everything else. That way you can have extra minor league players in the backfields, that sort of thing. And, you know, that would be their – everybody would have their own clubhouse. Because the one thing they got to be careful about is, at least with the 26 fields and stadiums, you know, you don't have to have games every single day at one ballpark. And I think that's particularly in Arizona –
that would have been a nightmare for the groundskeepers trying to keep, you know, grass growing in the middle of the summer when all the teams are trampling it every day.
Yeah, that is a great point. I didn't even think about the ergonomics of it. But yeah, that is interesting. But I did see that someone like Tony La Russa seems to be behind this. Tony, obviously a longtime Hall of Fame type manager, and now with the Angels as an advisor, even he's open to the idea, which, look, some of these old time guys, you'd have to wonder. But if someone like that is willing to back it, I think that helps the cause, no?
Oh, exactly. You know, it's a concept you don't expect the traditional baseball people to like. You know, they don't like it when they, with Milwaukee Brewers change leagues or the Houston Astros. That sort of thing. But this year is going to be so different anyway. You know, why not just go wild with it? You know, have a DH every single day. It's something fun for the fans to watch. And, it will revert back to normal, you know, next year. But at least for this, you know, maybe you can watch more games against teams that you're not used to, you know, seeing. I mean, if the Dodger fans, you know, you get tired of seeing the same teams day after day. You know, now you can see brand new rivals.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think there is that. It is strange, but I guess people will take anything they can get if it does come to that. I will say this. The Dodgers could be a big loser here in this scenario because as great a team as they had, and I talked about it not that long ago. I mean, it was just a couple of months ago. We were talking about spring training getting started. And, you know, the Dodgers, we felt like they could run away, clearly with the division, maybe even the National League. In this scenario, they would be in a tough division with an up-and-coming White Sox team, a strong Reds team, a formidable Indians team, and again, an inner-city rival with the Angels.
Yeah, make it more fun, and I agree with you. I think in the if baseball wasn't interrupted and go back into the regular schedule, I think the Dodgers would have won the division by Memorial Day. I mean, I think there's no contest. Just to make it more exciting, and obviously in Phoenix, they can play around with it and change it up a little bit, you know, because it's not that far to go from one side of the town to the other, unlike in Florida. But no, I still think, you know, no matter what system you want to use, the Dodgers will still be the favorites to win the World Series or whatever you want to call this year, the 2020, you know, champions.
I guess the big winner out of all this could be the Yankees, right? They don't have Boston or Tampa in their division all of a sudden. That does help them a little bit if this indeed is the case.
Yeah, I mean, the Rays can give them fits and everything else. And I think, you know, the depth will be a big part of this thing. You're going to need, you know, 40 players or so. The Dodgers have more depth than anybody. Yankees, it certainly allows those guys to get healthy. I think that's a big part with Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. You know, if they start the season, they should be healthy. James Paxton, one of their big starters, will now be healthy. And, you know, when you think about it, it's probably going to benefit the Houston Astros more than anybody. If there's no fans, no one's booing. So it would take a lot of pressure off those guys.
Bob, before I let you go, like, I know that you may not have the answer to this, but what is baseball thinking as far as conversations with the health organizations and whatnot? I know they may be ongoing, but as far as a timeline on making a potential decision, is there one? How often are they communicating with these health officials and the CDC, et cetera?
Yeah, they're communicating every day. That's what I was told. Every single day they're talking. No timeline. I really do believe they'll have baseball in some form before the year is out because they can go late. You know, they can... They do want 3 weeks of spring training, you know, get guys going. But you could start as late as August 1st, and play regular season games through late October, and then postseason games in November. You don't want to go to December, but certainly you could go up till, even Thanksgiving weekend. So they do have some time on their side. And I don't think there's any dates that, like, okay, we want to know by. You know, maybe once it gets to September, yeah, it might be too late. But they're going to ride this thing out as long as they can.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, joining us here, MLB Insider. Thank you so much for the time, Bob. Stay healthy, stay safe, and thanks again.
All right, my pleasure. Thanks, Roy.
Take care. There he is, Bob Nightingale. So there you go, Bergman. They're still going to, I mean, they may do what Boris has suggested, which is play through the fall if they had to.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what happens, that's what happens. I think the biggest thing that he said to me was that the Astros won't be booed. Can the other teams boo for the fans? Like the other players in the other dugout just boo the entire time that they're up at the plate, just so there's still some booing going at them this season.
Yeah, I don't buy that happening, so I wouldn't worry about
Come
that.
Come on, why not?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Look, the cheating Astros are going to get away with it. That's it.
Such brutal.
Yeah,
nonsense.
They're going to get away with it. By the time they get back, it's not going to be as bad.
Oh, they'll still boo. People will still boo next year.
No, they will, but it won't be as bad. It won't be as bad.
No, it won't be as bad. You're right, which is sad.
I mean, there may not be fans in the stands for a year. You know what I mean? Like, this may be the new normal. Like, you're going to have to play without fans. That's the reality of it. So,
yeah, I will boo extra hard from my couch.
There you go. You can do that. all right. That was Bob Nightingale of USA Today with the story. We'll continue that discussion a little later. We'll get more of your calls, but let's switch gears and find out why the Rams aren't playing why they weren't playing Todd Gurley for the whole season last year. Why they aren't paying Todd Gurley and Clay Matthews with our friend Lindsay Theory next. Sit down with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests like Lindsay Theory, who covers us at ESPN. Join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. And again, Lindsay Theory now joins us. I'm sure that Todd Gurley and Clay Matthews want some Straight Talk from the Rams and Kevin Demoff and Stan Kroenke. Lindsay, why are the Rams not paying these guys? What is the deal here?
Yeah, George, I think the deal is that these guys maybe are just sitting around with not much to tweet about like the rest of us right now with everything going on, and might be getting a little antsy for some paychecks. However, when you look at these guys' contracts and you have a better, clear understanding of the language in these contracts and the offsetting language, the Rams believe, I'm told by a source, that they're in full compliance with all of that language. Which means that they're probably waiting for, you know, Clay Matthews to sign a new deal to see if they do owe him any money or if the new deal's offset. And then with Todd Gurley, there could be some Todd might not be fully understanding that money is no longer fully guaranteed, but now is earned money. So according to the source, the Rams are in full compliance with the contracts. According to those players, they just want their money. So the players are probably winning the public PR battle with that one right now, even though it might not quite be totally true.
Well, I mean, it was kind of funny, like the Gurley one, when he just tweeted at him, "Hey, past due." Like, I mean, that was a funny tweet. I will give him credit for that. And look, I was having this conversation yesterday, which is, look, there's some emotion there, right? Like, this thing is still raw, particularly from a Gurley perspective, right? Like, I think that this is not how he envisioned this thing going, and I'm sure they didn't envision it going this way either, but here we are, and sometimes breakups are tough.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if you're Todd Gurley, you're thinking, you know, you signed the highest paid contract for a running back in NFL history. You're in Los Angeles. You know, you're kind of starting to make a name for yourself outside of football in L.A. with kind of the circles he was running in, and then suddenly, like he said in his own Twitter, on your day off, you get fired. So I think there is some hard feelings there from Todd Gurley, and nobody can blame him for that. He probably didn't really see this coming until it actually happened. But it did provide for some good entertainment with him and then Clay Matthews jumping in and tweeting about the interest. But I think it's more of an entertainment value, and Todd's been pretty entertaining on his social media since he was cut. But again, I'm not sure how much truth there is there that the Rams are behind on any payments.
Lindsay Theory joining us here, ESPN NFL insider, covers the Rams. I feel like your beat has been strange over the last several weeks. Like, obviously at this time you're dealing with the draft, but you've had a logo situation. You've had guys claiming they're not getting paid. It's just not the normal off-season draft issues that you normally deal with. I feel like you need hazard pay right now.
I really appreciate that. If you wouldn't mind sending my bosses at ESPN that, I think they think I'm joking with them, and I'm like, I can't keep up with the stories right now. I mean, we're all at home doing nothing else, but the Rams have managed to stay in the news cycle between, like you said, the logos, the Gurley thing. I mean, yesterday I was about to call it a day and file an evergreen story, and then all of a sudden Brandon Cooks, I'm told, is being traded. So there's a lot of things going on, and really it's hard to believe that the draft is right around the corner, and suddenly what you kind of thought was going to happen, the Rams need a linebacker, an offensive tackle. Now it's like, well, they need perhaps another running back. They need a receiver. So things are changing very rapidly for the Rams.
Lindsay, let me ask you about the Brandon Cooks situation. Like, how would you view the way that transaction played out?
Well, obviously there were a ton of rumors about Brandon Cooks and the Rams fielding phone calls, teams that were interested in trading for Brandon throughout the offseason. You know, I actually asked Sean McVay what was going on with Brandon when we talked to him earlier this week, and he just kind of emphasized how good Brandon is on tape and, you know, what Brandon's meant to their offense. But you didn't really necessarily feel a sense of closure as far as whether or not, you know, the Rams were done listening to any offers for Brandon Cooks. So, at the end of the day, it was a pretty restrictive contract. I mean, the Rams are going to eat $21.8 million in dead money this year on that contract there, and they'll get no salary cap this year. So it's another kind of head-scratcher following the Todd Gurley situation and some of these contracts that the Rams were giving out within the last couple of years that didn't seem to make a whole lot of sense at the time, and yet you kind of wanted to believe they could make it all work, but I think we're seeing right now that it just was never really going to work in the era of a salary cap.
So, Lindsay, let me ask you this. Does it seem like they're just kind of eating it this year from a cap perspective to kind of reload potentially the following season in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm trying to kind of map out their path, that would seem to be the case. I mean, between Cooks and Gurley, they're in for just about under, if my mouth holds up, which isn't always guaranteed. They're about $30 million, a little bit less in dead money this year, which is obviously significant. And then when you kind of look at it, they also are clearing future space and need to be careful that they don't get in this situation all over again, because remember, they're going to need to give Jalen Ramsey, who they traded 2 first-round picks for, they're going to need to give him what many expect to be a record-breaking extension as well. And Jalen Ramsey in this case has all the leverage because he knows what the Rams gave up to get him. So he's going to be in line for an extension. And then you see receiver Cooper Kupp, who obviously has been one of Sean McVay's favorites since he became coach, and also John Johnson, who's really done well for them in the secondary. So the Rams have another big kind of line of contracts coming up, but they're going to need to manage those a little bit better than they did with the Cooks and Gurley situation.
What do you remember what they gave up for Brandon Cooks?
Yeah, they gave up a first-round pick. I believe it was the 21st overall to the Patriots. Hmm. So they gave up a first-round for him, which the other thing that's kind of interesting, the Rams got back somewhat decent value. Brandon?
Yes.
I know there's a lot out there about, you know, this guy's been traded now, you know, from the Saints to the Pats to the Rams, now to the Texans 4 times. But he has been able to hold his value. So while it's pretty disastrous to have that kind of dead money and to have given up a first-round pick, at least they do get a second-round pick back, which is decent.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I thought the value they got back was pretty good. I just, you know, when you start doing kind of the net version of this where they've given up these first-round picks, and let's not forget they traded, was it a second-round pick the previous season, right, for the receiver who's now in Kansas City, whose name is escaping me at the moment.
Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins. So it's like they've been loosey-goosey with their picks. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the way they look at their picks is, you know, it's kind of better to have a bird in the hand than two in the bush. Like, when they traded for Brandon Cooks, they're like, look, this is essentially our first-round pick, and we got a known commodity. We know exactly what we're getting in Brandon Cooks. But, like, that's pretty solid thinking, except for the fact that you're also like, well, also, if you hit on that first-round pick, that's basically an inexpensive player for 4, even 5 seasons. Whereas Brandon Cooks, you gave up a first-round pick, and then you paid him 5 years, gave an $81 million contract. And so it's like the math just doesn't always add up. So while it's good to flip out of the first round in theory, some of those later picks in the first round, at some point, like, the math kind of catches up to you. So now instead of having a guy going into his, what would be his third season for next to nothing, if you make a great draft pick there, you have a guy, you gave him a first round pick, and now you're just in salary cap trouble all over again.
Yeah, look, the most valuable thing in sports, regardless of whether it's football, baseball, basketball, is a cost-controlled contract that is overperforming, right? Like, that's what you want. You want to try to find that value. Now, clearly not as easy in football, because you only have, you know, in theory, you know, a pick each round most years at best, and then you have so many roster spots to fill, right? And the impact of those guys as you get further and further into the draft become more and more negligible because you just don't hit on guys very late in most cases. So, yeah, I agree with you. I do think it puts them in a very interesting predicament.
Well, and that's what's really kind of interesting in how they've managed this now going back a couple of years, because remember when they gave Todd Gurley that contract? They didn't need to. He was going into his fourth season. And typically, guys on their rookie deals don't get an extension until their first-round picks don't get an extension until they're going into their fifth season. So when you look at what they did for Gurley, I mean, he outperformed his contract, no doubt. But, like, if you're being a great business person, is it savvy to give him a whopping extension going into his fourth year? Why would you not wait going into his fifth year? And also, I mean, obviously, this is a guy who they drafted knowing that he had reconstructive knee surgery. So they ended up paying him, I believe it was $22 million more than had they just let him play out his rookie contract. So that's just kind of where you're like, what's going on? But, I mean, they say they don't regret that Gurley earned that, but that kind of just comes down to how do you want to run your business? Do you want to reward players or do you want to reward yourself for being savvy in your business moves? And maybe some people say that's shrewd, but, you know, that kind of leaves the Rams in the situation they're in now.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest with you. I was conflicted at the time when they did that deal. A, he had clearly earned it. You're 100% right. But B, running back is the most interchangeable position in that particular sport, right? So I think that even though he had earned it, you kind of were putting yourself in a weird spot because you were rewarding a position that you tend to be able to find fairly easily. So, yeah, I like that they were rewarding their players and taking care of their players, but also there was part of me that was like, I don't know if that's the position you want to invest in, but, you know, here we are. Real quick, while I've got you, as far as the coaching staff and Sean's concern, and we had Sean on earlier in the week, and I asked him this question, and he thinks, look, I mean, you know him. He puts pressure on himself all the time. But I asked him, like, is there more pressure to be creative, considering you don't have the talent that you've had over the last couple of years? Like, not to say you don't have talented players, but the roster isn't as top-heavy as it's been in years past. And he kind of agreed with that. But do you feel that way, that they need to be creative in order to even be in the playoff hunt?
Yeah, I do, especially when you look at the division they're in. I mean, they came in third in the NFC West last year, by all means. The Seahawks are going to be good again. The Niners are still going to be good. And the Arizona Cardinals have really, at least on paper, kind of bulked up their roster this offseason. And when you look at the Rams, you're really hard-pressed as you look position for position and on offense, on defense, to say, well, where did they make any upgrades this offseason? I mean, I can't name one position that's an upgrade. Obviously, it was a big, big gap for them, for Michael Brockers to return to the defensive line. But other than that, their free agency period has fallen pretty flat, and they were pretty handcuffed by what they could do. So I think this coaching staff is going to have to really, really dig in, and they're going to have to come up with some, like McVay said, some creative stuff to get some wins, because right now, pound for pound, they just don't have the talent that they had in the last couple of years.
All right, last one for Lindsay Theory. Matt Berry of SportsCenter tweeted this out yesterday, and we had some fun with it. He said, he asked the question, what is the movie that everyone you know loves and gets all these accolades that you either thought was overrated or you hated? Now, he mentioned The Princess Bride as kind of the top of that list for him. Is there a movie that everyone universally loves, Lindsay Theory, that you're like, nah, I'm not into it?
Well, I don't know if everyone universally loves it, but I will tell you that my fiance loves The Big Lebowski, and every guy I've met since then loves that movie, and I just watch it, and I'm like, I don't get it. I don't think it's funny, and I've tried to watch it with him, like, probably three times, and I fall asleep about 20 minutes in because I'm just like, this is dumb, and I don't have time for this. I'd rather be sleeping.
The Dude!
Yeah, the dude.
Yeah. I mean, look, I like the movie, but yeah, but it is a very cult following, a popular movie. I think it's a guy movie, I think, more than anything else. Mrs. Sedano also not in on The Big Lebowski, by the way. So she falls asleep at almost every movie that I like. So that if it makes you feel any better, tell your fiance that is the norm in my house. So, it, you know,
well,
don't worry about it.
I've never met Mrs. Sedano, but I like her already.
Lindsay, stay safe, stay healthy. Thanks for the time, as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Take care. There she is, Lindsay Theory, with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. All right, coming up next, could there be some new hope for the NBA? Plus, Major League Baseball, getting crazy. Getting crazy. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Lindsay Theory and Bob Nightingale for joining us there. It's time to talk about my friends at Pennington Smart Seed. Save water this spring and get a more beautiful and healthy lawn with Pennington Smart Seed. It's a premium, drought-resistant grass seed that saves up to 30% more water than the ordinary seed. And I'm telling you, I use it. By the way, I used it a couple weeks ago. Remember, you were making fun of me, Bergman, when I was seeding my lawn? Little pieces of grass coming out now after I tore it all up already.
That's such a great feeling, isn't it? When you start seeing the little pieces of grass, and you're like, yeah, I'm doing it.
Yeah, Pennington Smart Seed is what I used. And that was that, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think it was two. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Sounds about right.
2 weeks ago. And now it's been raining the last couple of days, which I think helps. But yeah, so I started to see it. I was going out there because I thought to myself, I looked and it was still a lot of dirt. And I'm like, maybe I should seed again. And I went out there and I looked. I'm like, oh, no. No, 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 because if I rake, I'm going to rip up the little grass that's starting to grow. So I got to be patient. Patient, yeah, Daniel son.
Don't go doing that. Now, before it was raining, were you out there just, you know, were you using sprinklers or were you actually using a hose?
We have sprinklers, yes, okay. But we hadn't turned them on yet. We were just, because it had been raining. It's been, like, relatively rainy. I know it was sunny last week, but it was rainy right after I seeded. And then it was a little dry last week, but not super dry. And then it's been really rainy the last couple of days. So I figured, you know, I would let it play out a little bit. I've been monitoring the Weather Channel app, and I'm really into the ergonomics of this. Okay. I was monitoring the Weather Channel app. I saw it was supposed to rain this week. So I'm like, I'm not going to water it. I'm just going to let the rain and the natural process take its course. And here we are, seeding with Sedano. It could be a new segment.
There you go. Now you just need the sun to come out and kind of lift all that up and take out some of that rain.
Right, which will happen. You know, after in the next day or two, it's going to stop raining for a while, and then the sun will start to come up again, and then we'll have more grass. And there you go. If Mark Cates, I know he was listening yesterday, giving you all sorts of grief about your movie selection. What was he mad? He was mad about what movie? What movie did you not like?
Training Day and Anchorman.
Oh,
he was
right.
Not
Training Day and Anchorman. Yeah.
People on Twitter were not happy with me either.
Yeah, I saw that. Fine. People were really mad. They were very mad at you.
Lots of memes.
Yes. So they, so Mark Cates, who's one of our great salespeople, who listens to the show, go get me Pennington Smart Seed and let's do seeding with Sedano. There we go. That's the segment right there. By the way, if you missed Lindsay Theory or Bob Nightingale on the Rams and Major League Baseball's new, proposed potential situation as far as trying to get play resumed, they're going to try to do it Cactus League, Grapefruit League. They're going to try to go the route of Florida and Arizona, not just Arizona, which probably seems like a better idea, although I do have my worries about Florida because hashtag because Florida. So there's that. And look, I can say that because I grew up there. Also, though, it's funny. There's like a funny meme that's going around. I want to find, I got to read this to you. It's all over my Instagram, people that I know that live in Florida. I want to find it. It basically says something to the effect of, I come from the Gloria Stefan, Uncle Luke Pitbull part of Florida, not the, what's the chick, the lady from Tiger King, Carol Baskin? Not the Carol Baskin part of Florida from Tiger King, which is a big distinction, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch Tiger King, but yeah, there's definitely parts of Florida that, I mean, that's the place. Florida seems to me like the place that you would see a clown walking around and, you know, naked.
Listen, Let me tell you something. Well, first of all, I mean, that's just, I mean, all right, you could see that in Hollywood too. I mean, don't go too far. You know what I mean? Like, I have a friend who like works on like a comedy show, and he's not from LA, but they were doing their shows from LA for a week, and they were staying in West Hollywood and in Hollywood. And, they were, cause that's where their studios were. And they had him walk around in one of those like, remember Borat?
Yeah.
Was it Borat who did like that
the
neon
green thing?
Yeah, that green neon thing. He wore that thing in Hollywood and West Hollywood. And he says he got no like shock value. I'm like, dude, it's Hollywood. And West Hollywood, there's weirdos everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, I go, he's like, yeah, but like in New York, that would have gotten so. I said, because it's New York. Yes, there are plenty of weirdos in New York, but it just like, it's just, we're like cool with the weirdos here. Like, yeah, cool. Be weird. Like, go at it. Be more weird.
Yeah, yeah, it's L.A., and so you can do – nobody even looks you in the eye right. anyway when you walk
yeah,
down the street.
Exactly.
So this is the wrong place for that, especially yeah. like Hollywood. I mean –
yeah, or Hollywood. Or even, and then yeah. he went to like Santa Monica, and I'm like, yeah, no, you're not getting any weird looks there because people are like,
nope.
we breed weirdos. Like, we're fine with it. We actually embrace the weirdness. Like, let's go. Be more weird.
Yeah, this was the wrong place for him to come to do that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So anyway – So yeah, Florida though, yeah, hashtag because Florida. You think people in California want to, like, I know that there's, you know, for years, right, there's always been this talk of splitting California into different states. Well, there's definitely that in Florida. I'm telling you that. The people in South Florida are like, we don't want anything to do with the northern people because the northern people are the Tiger King type people. But anyway, if you miss any one of our interviews, as I mentioned, Lindsay Theory or Bob Nightingale about the potential realignment for Major League Baseball and playing baseball in the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League, check out our Interview on Demand section in the Sedano Show podcast brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? All right. So real quick, I didn't get to the NBA's New Hope. Because, well, we started talking about onesies and, you know, thongs, basically, male thongs. So we'll have to do that later. We're going to do that in the next segment. We're going to take a break here and we're going to get into that because Jackie McMullen was on the Brian Windhorst True Hoop Collective podcast and talked about something she saw firsthand in her own neighborhood that made her feel like, this could help the NBA. This could be something that could be a good omen for the NBA and a potential return for the NBA. So we'll talk about a new hope for the NBA in just a few moments. Stick around. We're back in 4 minutes. Sedano, 710 ESPN.